sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her. I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace! Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy hump day.
Hump day?
To all of you. Still coming down from the high of the king and the queen consort, Taylor. I know this is your favorite thing. I know you're such a monarchist. Watching these royals, it really, really does it for you.
My wife showed me a bunch of posts this morning from and clips of King Charles's speech, and it's. I'm sure it was funny, but British humor is not my not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot
That's
of it.
That's good old American humor for you right there, everybody.
I didn't watch a lot of it. I saw that Trump made a comment, which I thought was funny at the dinner afterwards, that King Charles managed to get the Democrats to stand up and applaud. It was very weird. I have to agree with people. I can't figure these people out for the life of me. It's like, and maybe it's because there's no sense here. There's no logic to it. They hate kings. That's what I've gathered from all the Rosa DeLauro type ladies with the signs on the overpasses, is that kings are no bueno. We do not like kings. Kings are bad. And yet, I didn't peg all these people to be such monarchists. Like, they were all standing up, applauding. They couldn't get enough of King Charles. I thought that was weird, Taylor. And I guess it's just like the historic element of it. But I thought that these were all like Meghan and Harry fans. I thought that they were, when we had Megxit, I thought they chose the side of the smug, sanctimonious, whining liberal stars in wherever they are in California. I thought that's where they fell on this. So I was very surprised to see King Charles, who's not like the most popular monarch by any means. I mean, especially compared to his mom. He's got a reputation. People don't really like him very much, especially after the whole Princess Diana thing. I don't need to give people a rundown on that, nor could I really. I was pretty young when all this happened. But I didn't think of him as a really popular guy, so I was just a little confused. Plus, when you add in the fact that these people don't stand up for kids with brain cancer, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I'm like, what did King Charles do? But do you think they were sending, in their minds, were they going, We'll stand up for this king to show you that you're not a king. Like, I was trying to, sometimes I feel like the person in the Zodiac or something, where I'm trying to get into the minds of the Democrats. It's like when you watch a show and they're like, we got to get into the minds of the serial killer. What would he do? What would his next move be? I'm trying to understand what these ping pong paddling, carrying crazy people, what their logic is to standing up for King Charles. I don't get it. I didn't think that they... I thought they were, Taylor, more on your end of things, where it's like, get the hell out of here. Enough with these carriages and these castles and this pomp and circumstance. I didn't understand. Am I missing a part of this? Am I missing some message they were trying to send?
Well,
Ilhan Grace, Omar! Ilhan Omar, Taylor, had her phone out. She was like starstruck.
The funniest thing I saw yesterday, I forget who tweeted it. It was somebody who was at the ceremony, but imagine you're Ilhan Omar and you think there's 111 people named King Charles coming to this reception because King Charles III, she had trouble with World War II. Anyway, but they view kings,
she's like, whoa,
just like they view billionaires. There are good billionaires
and bad
billionaires. There are good kings and kings that are in symbol only, pretty much, and then there are bad kings, like, I don't know, they view Trump as Henry VIII, the second coming.
Yeah, you're right. you're right. It is the old billionaire thing where it's like, hey, this is ours. This guy's on our side. But that, even then, though, Taylor, I'm like, he's not on your side. I mean, maybe he is because maybe, you know, I know he's a big climate guy. I do know that for a fact. I don't know a lot about King Charles. I know he's a big climate change pusher. So maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I couldn't. And nor do I really care, to be quite honest with you. I like the Royals. I like William and Kate. I like seeing the dresses and Camilla. I actually have a soft spot for Camilla, which I don't know why. I feel like she gets so much heat from people, and she just seems like a nice lady. But I was happy to see Trump so happy. I mean, my God. You never know with him, Taylor, what's going to be the thing. It's just kind of funny. It's like sometimes there'll be something really cool that happens and he doesn't seem that impressed. And then someone will give him like a random pen and he's like Hillary Clinton looking at the balloons. He's just out of his mind. This is the coolest day ever. This is a guy who you would think there's very little that you can do to wow him. And then they give him a bell and he's right back to being blown away by it. So I was happy to see him in such good spirits. I was happy to see Melania. I know this is a standing headline, but she was looking absolutely beautiful. I am an admirer of her fashion and her looks and her makeup and just her glam. And she was, the fact that this woman is not on every magazine cover is disgusting to me. Okay. And I'm just talking pure superficialness right now. I'm talking pure shallow vanity. She's gorgeous. So that was going on in the White House. Now, Trump, as I said, having a great night, had fun at the state dinner, gave a shout out to King Charles, said, I can't believe you got the Democrats to stand. And then meanwhile, today, someone who's not riding the high of this royal visit would be the seashell enthusiast, the Taylor Swift mega fan, James Comey. It's been a tough couple of hours for James Comey, the former FBI director, the one who was hiding amongst the curtains, hoping to blend in his blue suit. He really likes to pretend. Like, that's something I noticed with him. It's this fake humility. I notice it with a lot of people now. Tucker does it too a lot now, where it's like, it's this fake voice they put on where they try to convince you that they're shy or they don't like attention. And I was just trying to, I was just trying to blend into the curtains and hope that, and really hope that Trump didn't notice me. Behind all that, narcissist. Behind all that, egomaniac. And that's what we're seeing with James Comey. Well, he was one of the architects and perpetrators of the Russiagate hoax. He also dropped the ball with Hillary Clinton. He was charged with threatening Trump via his 8647 seashell post. And he's expected to surrender to authorities today. The indictment dropped in North Carolina, which I guess was the beach where he put together these seashells. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Taylor, I always mix this up. I always get my stories confused. He just stumbled across these seashells. It was kismet. He was just walking the beach. It was serendipity. He's just walking the beach with his wife and his sweater and his jeans. And he's probably talking to his wife about Taylor Swift because this is what he spends his time doing. And he's talking and he's, oh, you know, talking. And all of a sudden, oh, what is that? Oh, it's a collection of seashells. And they say 8647. And this is, again, this fake humility mixed with like a Mickey the Dunce, which is very popular right now with Democrats. He puts it up there and then he goes, wait, what? Wait, you thought the guy in the manifesto was talking about you? You thought when I put up 8647 that I was suggesting that people kill Trump? That's not what I... Oh no, I didn't think that at all. And so that is why Comey is now being charged by the DOJ. They've secured a second indictment against him. And if you don't understand why Comey was such a thorn in Trump's side, he really helped perpetrate this Russiagate hoax. And it became one of the biggest, one of the most overwhelming challenges and one of the most needless challenges, which is the frustrating part for everyone who voted for Trump in Trump's first term. And it was based off contrived intelligence. It was based off bogus investigations by a man, the curtain guy, the seashell guy, who knew the Steele dossier was BS. And he led this witch hunt against Donald Trump anyway, because he felt, I think, deep down, like he didn't do enough for Hillary Clinton and he didn't do enough to sabotage Donald Trump, and he wasn't complicit enough in all of the shady kind of coup-like strategies going on behind the scenes. So he tried to make up for it with the Russiagate investigation in Trump's first term. And also, though, something I think people forget about James Comey, and I don't want you to forget about this, screwed over Martha Stewart, too. You know who's having a good day? King Charles, Donald J. Trump, Melania, and Martha Stewart. That woman is a boss. And if you forgot, he was the one, Taylor, back in the day who decided to get her on the obstruction of justice charges when the insider trading allegations, you know, weren't really where they were going nowhere. So he still wanted, she called herself a trophy. It's like he wanted a feather in his cap. He wanted something. He wanted to make an example out of her. So they did what they always do, which is they get you on lying to the FBI. They get you on like any sort of discrepancy. And then that's how they end up bringing you to justice. And he's a covert narcissist. He's been doing this stuff for decades, and now it's coming back to roost. And I understand, this is my take on it, because this is kind of falling back into the Jimmy Kimmel. I understand why there will be conservatives who are more principled than I am and more well-versed in the law and how these things work and free speech and the Constitution, the First Amendment and all that stuff, who are going to say, like Jonathan Turley did, that this is probably not a good idea. It's not going to hold up. It doesn't have the merits. It's a free speech trap is how Turley described it. And I really like Jonathan Turley. I read his stuff quite a bit. And I am not going to argue with them on that. But I'm also here to tell you that I am not going to sit around and lose sleep or worry about whether or not this has the merits. Like, in my opinion, after what they put Trump through, if he wants to make these guys' life difficult with this kind of legal warfare that they perpetrated onto him, I would be lying to you as the audience if I said that bothered me. And Taylor, this is where I want you to chime in, because you're a principled guy.
Don't make me laugh.
I find sometimes where I'm like, oh, okay, so here's the argument. Here's what Turley's saying. Here's what conservatives are saying. Here's the worry about this. Here's whether or not it'll stand up. It's in North Carolina, which is different than if it were in D.C. or in New York. There's all these facts, and I just got to tell people, I know the facts don't care about my feelings, but the show does, the audience does, and my feeling is, what's good for the goose, baby? That would be if Grace Curley was the lawyer, if Grace Curley was the judge, and God help us all if that were the case, I'd be sitting there going, I would just be throwing out these idioms. What's good for the goose? Shrug. Hey, I mean, you guys didn't mind doing all this stuff to Donald Trump. And I talked about this yesterday, Taylor, because I put out this thing about Kimmel, because all these people are mad at me that I'm not upset. Like, well, you want ABC to fire Kimmel? I don't care if ABC fires Kimmel. If they want to fire him, great. If they don't, great. I mean, I actually think that firing Kimmel gives his career more longevity, and it gives him like more of a martyr complex than he already has somehow. But my whole thing is like, do you want me to pretend that I feel bad, that I'm mad about this? Like, do you want me to pretend that, oh yeah, no, I know that you guys always do this to our side, but I'm not okay with this now. I'm still gonna stand up and tell you that this isn't good and two rights don't make it wrong. It's like, no, you guys haven't even apologized for what you've done to our side. You haven't even acknowledged that you were ever wrong. So I don't even look at it now as two wrongs make it right. I just look at it as, you made these rules. This is the kangaroo court. This is the weaponization of the justice system. You guys did it. And unless you want to look back and apologize and stand 10 toes on the ground and tell me that you made mistakes and that you would do things differently and that, you know, you acknowledge where you went wrong, until we even get there, miss me with this, like, oh boy, make sure that you take a stand on this. Not happening. Sorry, Taylor, go ahead.
It's a tough one because, yeah, Comey shouldn't have put that photo out, obviously. Stupid. But from just a prosecutorial standpoint, you've got to prove that he made that seashell formation, which is...
Right, I don't think they'll be able to.
Why are we even talking about... What a ridiculous thing I just had to say. You have to prove that. You have to prove intent. You have to prove that he knew what it meant or did not know what it meant. And then the flip side is that this is just an embarrassment, I feel, to the Department of Justice, that we're going over to somebody over a photo they took. I mean, I get what you're saying. Kind of stooping to that level. It doesn't matter anymore. They want to play dirty. We've got to play dirty. But, God, that's just giving him another facet, another avenue to go after Trump after he's out of office. How many things has he posted on his social?
Good Lord,
this guy is going to prison for the rest of his natural life, and then some. He's going to be put under
the
jail.
But I would argue with that and say I don't think that whether he does this to Comey or not, whether his DOJ does this, it's going to change how much they attack him.
But
like they're going to attack it. They already did.
You get what I'm saying,
him.
Though? This is an embarrassing little morsel to go after, and it's not even a morsel. I wouldn't give this crumb to a mouse. There's so many other things to go after Comey for, and you can't get those.
Do you think it's like
so
an Al Capone situation? Do you think it's an Al Capone situation?
God, that's
like,
an insult to Al Capone.
I know
that was a legitimate tax crime.
At least they got him on it.
Yes,
yeah.
They got him, and he was evading taxes. It all added up, or didn't in Capone's case. But that's an insult to gangsters. Please.
We do have to take a break here, but we'll come back to this and we'll talk about it. I don't know. I think that a lot of the stuff that they got Trump on or tried to get Trump on was the point of it was just to be annoying and was just to make him go through this whole process while he was running for president. And I think he's just kind of trying to show them, hey, yeah, it sucks. It sucks when you have to get arraigned. It sucks when you have to do all this stuff. And it sucks when it's based off nothing. So here's what it's like. But I do get your point, Taylor. And as always, Taylor is very convincing. So we'll continue to talk about this. Mainstream media just announced that for the first time ever, there are nearly 50% more home sellers than home buyers in the U.S. There are 600,000 more home sellers than there are buyers. So what can you do in this moment to get your property noticed? What can be done with your property to set it apart from the masses? The answer is easy. Conduct a voluntary auction with J.J. Manning. For over 50 years, this J.J. Manning Auctioneers has successfully sold for individuals, families, trusts, estates, and businesses. You sell as is and contingency free. You control the terms and you control the timeline. So list with the JJ Manning auction to stand out from the pack. JJ Manning has the following auctions coming up for Howie and Grace listeners. June 11th, an estate auction of a 3-bedroom home in Hanover, Mass. June 18th, a 5-bedroom compound in Bedford, Mass. And don't forget, Karen Reed's Lexus SUV goes on the block on May 14th. At Manzi Appraisers in Woburn, Mass. If you have commercial, residential, or land to sell, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. Call Charlie today and market sold. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Shows that Mr. Comey intended for President Trump to be harmed. And then secondarily, for critics who say, where does free speech end and an actual threat of violence begin?
I don't know what critics say that, especially today, but it's not a very difficult line to look at, and it's not, in my mind, a difficult line for one to cross over one way or the other. We cannot. You are not allowed to threaten the President of the United States of America. That's not my decision. That's Congress's decision in a statute that they passed that we charge multiple times a year. And so whether there is a defense, as you just described, maybe. Maybe there is, but the government will have evidence. I am not going to talk about the evidence that we have. That's unfair to him. It's unfair to the prosecutors.
Yeah, actually, Taylor. That's AG Todd Blanche. And like maybe they have something that we aren't privy to. Maybe there's a lie here. I agree with you that it's weak and it's petty in the sense like it's not the strongest thing you go after him for. I think that that's just a response to how weak and petty all the stuff they went after Trump was. Now, do I think that's a smart strategy? No, but does it make me kick my feet a little bit and smile? sure does. I'd be lying to you guys if I didn't say that I'm getting a laugh out of this. I'm getting a laugh out of the artist known as James Comey with his seashells. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Between posting the picture and getting a call from the Secret Service, did you have any sort of gut check of like, well, they've audited me in an extraordinary way. I was under investigation for years after he fired me. Like, you know, did you have any regret about posting the picture?
Well, I regret the distraction and the controversy around it. But again, it's hard to have regret about something that even in hindsight looks to me to be totally innocent.
Oh, yeah. He regretted all the hoopla. This was right before he was pushing his book, right? The timing of it was spectacular, especially for someone who, again, like, he's just, you know, he likes to play this mousy, I'm innocent. I don't really like a lot of attention. I'm hiding behind the curtains over here. I didn't really know. I'm by the grandfather clock taking contemporaneous notes. They think I'm the bad guy. It's like, give me a break, you absolute phony baloney. You wolf in sheep's, you tall ass wolf in sheep's clothing. Get out of here. I can't stand this. Now the text line's very divided. We have people saying, yes, girl, bring it, Grace. You're so damn right. That's my favorite text so far. No bias here. I'm just saying, I think that one nails it. Another person says, yeah, this feels like process is the punishment. Comey's only out is to show he either didn't understand the meaning of the post or he didn't intend to harm the president, but then he may be guilty of the lesser charge. Now we have people saying Taylor is right. Taylor is right. Comey is the world's tallest scumbag, but this case is a loser. I get that the Dems started with process is the punishment, but Comey is going to walk. The DOJ needs to do better. I'll tell you, I've been very impressed with AG Todd Blanche. I know he's just the interim AG, and I would love to see Lee Zeldin in there, and I haven't changed my tune on that, but I've been pretty impressed with what he's bringing down so far. The SPLC case, what we got on Comey's guy, Dr. Doom, yesterday. I do agree that this isn't a strong case, the merits of it, but I'm just letting you all know that you're not going to catch me crying over it. You're not going to catch me, you know, feeling bad for Comey. Because again, it's like all these people that want me to feel bad for them, they were the ones. It's not as if, oh, they watched what was happening to Trump and they didn't speak out or they didn't put out a tweet or they didn't defend him. They were the ones doing it. They were the architects of all of this during Trump's first term. And so, give me a couple of days and maybe I'll drum up some sympathy. I don't have any right now. Joining us to talk about what's going on in the Supreme Court, but he's first going to give us his take on this Comey situation, is Hans von Spakovsky from, and I'm very excited about this, he's the senior fellow here, the senior legal fellow. Thank you so much for coming on at Advancing American Freedom. Hans, give me your rundown on James Comey in this case.
Well, look, he has shown that he is a crass partisan who basically abused his power when he was the head of the FBI. And he should never, ever be given a position of public trust in the government again. I got to tell you, I think the grand jury indictment is a very weak case. There's all kinds of really nasty things people can say that's covered by the First Amendment, and you have to go pretty far before it can be considered an actual physical threat against somebody. And despite the, like I said, just the total inappropriateness of what he did, I still think he's within his First Amendment rights to have done that.
Yeah, I do too, unfortunately. Hey, I wanted to ask you though, Hans, since we're on this topic, and we've been talking a lot about Jimmy Kimmel and his joke about Melania, which I also think is covered under the First Amendment. What is the line though? Because sometimes when I'm talking about these things on the air and I hear someone like Hassan Piker, for example, say the streets need to run red with their blood or someone needs to do it, or you hear people kind of advising on the best way to kill the president or what they want to see happen. Where, as a legal fellow, where does that differ? Where's the point where you go, okay, now you're getting yourself into trouble? That's where it goes from protected speech to actual threats.
that is often a very tough line to draw. But the difference is, look, if you give a speech saying, boy, I really don't like this president, you know, the country would be much better off if, you know, somebody got rid of him, that's unfortunately within the First Amendment. If, on the other hand, you give a speech in which you say, I'm telling people in this room, you need to go out and you need to put together a plan to kill the president. In other words, they are urging people to engage in violence. They are doing everything they can to persuade people to engage in violence. That, I think, actually goes over the line, and that's when you can be prosecuted. But as you say, sometimes that's a tough line to draw.
Yeah, and since you brought this up, wasn't that exactly what Democrats were trying to do with Trump with his speech on January 6th, despite the fact that he said specifically go peacefully and protest peacefully? He made a point to just kind of cover his own ass there and say, I don't want any violence to break out, go peacefully. And they still tried to put him through the ringer for it and claim that he was inciting violence.
Now that you're bringing that up, that's exactly right. And he was not inciting violence. He was telling people to engage in their First Amendment right to protest, but to do it peacefully. And there was no way that was a criminal violation of the law, even though that's what Democrats tried to claim.
All right, now, Hans, I know that you are on here today to talk about something very important that happened with the Supreme Court. They struck down Louisiana's congressional map, and they found the state's second majority black district violated the Equal Protection Clause. Can you run this through in simple terms for us, for people who are watching, for people who are seeing the gerrymandering going on and kind of these redistricting fights that are happening across the country? What does this mean for other states, and break down how they came to this conclusion, this 6-3 decision?
Louisiana has 6 congressional seats. When they redrew their maps, they made one of them a majority black district. They were sued, and a court said, decades ago, you guys engaged in racial discrimination in Louisiana, and black voters are a third of the state, so you have to create a second district. So the Louisiana legislature created a second black district, and they used race to draw those lines. They were sued again. And this time people said, look, you can't use race. And that order by that other judge was improper. The Supreme Court agreed and said, you can't use race unless it is to remedy specific, proven, intentional racial discrimination. And that wasn't the case in Louisiana. And in fact, they gave a warning to courts saying that, look, when you're evaluating evidence of supposed intentional racial discrimination, you have to disentangle race from politics. And what they meant by that is, look, you and I both know what 90-95% of black Americans vote for the Democratic Party. Well, that's not a violation of the Voting Rights Act if, for example, they're all put together in one district because Republicans are trying to draw districts that favor Republicans. They are voting together not because of race, but because of politics. And you can't use that kind of partisanship to claim there's some kind of violation of the Voting Rights Act. Oh, by the way, the other thing they said, which makes perfect sense, is if you're going to show a violation of that law, you got to show current discrimination. You can't rely on what happened during the American Civil War or what was happening in 1965. You have to base it on current conditions, all of which makes perfect sense.
Well, what do you see happening next now that we have this decision? Are there other states that are going to take a cue here and make some sort of legal challenges? Or, like, what do you think the next step is now that we have this?
Well, this is going to change the whole redistricting litigation process. You know, every time states do redistricting, they are constantly getting sued. But what's been happening for years is that Democrats, mostly liberals, when they're upset about partisan redistricting, they try to claim that it's racial discrimination, racial redistricting, and therefore a violation of the Voting Rights Act. This decision is going to make it much tougher for them to make those kind of claims. And frankly, it should probably reduce the litigation that's filed when legislatures engage in redistricting. But it also is going to make it much tougher for states like California to do redistricting based on race, which is frankly what they did when they redrew the state earlier this year to compete with what they claimed Texas was doing.
Hans, do you have anything else you want to add in here from listening to these arguments, from reading these decisions about this situation in Louisiana? Is anything else standing out to you that you think the audience should be privy to?
Look, the Supreme Court's going to get criticized by the left. That's already happening. People should not listen to that criticism, because what the court did is proper. They said, yeah, the Voting Rights Act is still in place, but if you're going to sue under it, you got to prove that there was intentional discrimination. And like I said, you can't rely on what happened, you know, 50, 100 years ago, because we're a different America today. And that makes perfect sense.
And Hans, this is a little off topic, but I have another question for you. So yesterday I was playing a sound. I don't know if you saw this. There was a back and forth between Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, and Rosa DeLauro. Did you see this back and forth by chance?
I read about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. And he was basically asking her, like, well, do you know about this Supreme Court decision? Do you know about this Supreme Court decision? Because a lot of that it affects the EPA's limits and what they can do regarding climate change. And she had no idea. And this is something I'm seeing a lot now with, I would argue, more Democrat politicians than Republican. But it seems like a lot of these lawmakers don't actually want to do any of the reading here. They don't want to open up that thick binder full of decisions and kind of material and go through it. As someone who's so entrenched in the legalese of all these things and has a real understanding of it, does that scare you when you see people who are holding so much power in Congress have such limited knowledge on what's actually going on with these cases?
It does, but it's also no surprise, because remember, Democratic legislators, they believe that there is no limit on their power. There's no limit on what Congress can do. They've shown that in session after session, bill after bill. Do you remember when Nancy Pelosi, when they were passing Obamacare, and somebody asked her about the Constitution and its limits on the power of Congress? And she basically said, huh, what are you talking about?
We have to pass the law so we can see what's in it. It was something along those lines.
Yeah, right. And it scares me because, look, they want to pack the court. The left does, so that there won't be any justices on the court able to stop any exercise of power that they think is the thing to do. And that's one of the reasons why, like I said, they're really pushing and are very upset over the fact that we finally have a majority of justices on the court who actually are willing to step in and say, hey, the government can't do this.
Hans von Spakovsky, I thank you so much for coming. Please tell people where they can follow you, where they can read all your work, and give yourself a nice plug here.
Sure. They can go to Advancing American Freedom or at H. von Spakovsky on X, and they'll see all the stuff that I put out.
I really appreciate it, Hans. Thank you for your time and your wisdom on all of these cases. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about James Comey and the reactions here from the left. And again, it does tie in, I think, we just talked about this with Hans, to the Jimmy Kimmel of it all. And all of these people who are now very concerned. And you know what was funny, Taylor? I put out this post yesterday, and I just pointed out that there's a lot of comparisons between Roseanne being fired by ABC. Some people are doing the Gina Carano comparison, and Jimmy Kimmel. And I said, well, there is a big difference. Like, Roseanne's show was very successful, and I haven't seen that from Jimmy Kimmel. Every time I read a headline, it's about the ratings crashing out. And there were so many replies from people who were writing things like, the reason it's different is because Roseanne's tweet about Valerie Jarrett was racist and Jimmy Kimmel's was a joke. And I thought, you guys are proving my point. Once we start getting into, well, this joke wasn't a joke because I was offended by it, or this was racism and that doesn't count as a joke, then you're in this gray area of, like, do you see why it's not a good idea to fire people when they don't say what you want them to say or when you don't like? Because it's a slippery, flippin' slope. That's what we've been trying to warn you of since the beginning of time, is once you start deciding, well, no, now that joke went too far and I don't like that one because that was against someone that I like and I think that one was not a joke, that was mean, that was racist, and then this joke, well, that was just dark humor. It's like, what are we talking about? This is exactly why I'm team don't fire people for saying stupid stuff. Unless ABC wants to because they go, hey, you know, you're not making us enough money for this, whatever, then they absolutely can. But I've never been team fire Jimmy Kimmel. I think that's going to give him more attention than he even deserves. I'm just team let's call a spade a spade. Like, you have all been doing this forever. And now, because I'm pointing it out and I'm saying, well, that joke seems like, you know, That seems like something that could get you in trouble based off recent history of what you guys have been doing. Then all of a sudden they go, okay, Snowflake, you're offended by a joke. I'm not offended by it. I'm just acting like you. And the other argument that I kept hearing, which really ticked me off, was, oh, well, it's different. Because my point, Taylor, was, how come everyone has the right to the First Amendment? Everyone can say what they want. Jane Fonda, Jimmy Kimmel, all these people. And then Trump says he should be fired. And all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, no. And people start going, well, that's different because he's the government. Well, when Biden was the government, as you guys put it, as you also astutely put it, he was bragging about censoring Facebook. He was bragging about kicking people off platforms. His press secretary, Jen Circlebach-Psaki, was telling reporters about it and expecting a trophy. So don't use that one either. It's like, please. And the what about, oh, that's just what about is a, no. That's just me being a bit of a historian. Just reminding you guys of your past and how this has all come to be. If we don't understand our history, we'll be doomed to repeat it. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls and talk to you about all these things. Stay with us.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Watch the show live, rumble.com/TheGraceCurlyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, visit Dr. Tam in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. What do we got, Taylor?
How strong is the DOJ's case against Comey for allegedly threatening President Trump via seashells? Flimsy, has a chance, or strong?
I'm going to say flimsy.
45% say flimsy, 45% say has a chance, only 10% say strong.
I mean, if we've learned anything over the years, it's that death threats are kind of in the eye of the beholder. Or seashells, or whatever you see in the seashells, depends on who you are. We'll talk about it more when we come back. Stay with us.